Happy Sabbath, dear ones, and welcome to our main church service on this 23rd day of May, 2020. Welcome to those that are joining us here in the room or on the phone or listening to the recording, and glad to have you in fellowship with us today. Praise God for his merciful kindness to the children of men. And praise his holy name for allowing us to know Jesus Christ and to represent him in character. Praise his name for allowing us still to have probation open to us to get ourselves ready to meet our God who is coming soon. So again, Sabbath blessings, dear ones, and our opening song is I Will Early Seek the Savior. And those who know this wonderful hymn, please take a verse. I will early seek the Savior, I will learn of him each day. I will follow in his footsteps, I will walk the narrow way. For he loves me, yes, he loves me. Jesus loves me, this I know. Jesus loves me, died to save me. This is why I love him so.
I will hasten where he bids me. I am not too old to go in the pathway where he leadeth. Not too young his will to know. For he loves me, yes, he loves me. Jesus loves me, this I know. Jesus loves me, died to save me. This is why I love him so.
He is standing at the doorway of escape from every sin. I will knock, for he has promised he will hear and let me in. For he loves me, yes, he loves me. Jesus loves me, this I know. Jesus loves me, died to save me. This is why I love him so.
Amen. And thank you, dear Savior, for your great love and for your sacrifice for each one of us. Help us indeed to early seek you as our Savior. And if we put it off, help us not to put it off any longer. Well, please join with me in prayer, dear ones. Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to gather together once again to worship you in spirit and in truth. And we pray that your presence, the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit, will continue to be abiding guest with each listening heart. Spirit, open our understanding to behold greater, wondrous things out of the word of inspiration today. Help us indeed to see that Jesus is our loving Savior. He is our righteousness. And if we're hid in Him, there is no condemnation and death. But there is life eternal, joy, happiness, peace, and love. Thank you that we're a day closer to heaven. Thank you that we're closer today than we were yesterday. And please help us to get ourselves ready and prepared to meet our Lord when He comes in the clouds of the air, and not run away with the rest of the wicked and hide ourselves from His lovely face. So we thank you for hearing and answering this prayer and for being in our midst. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So again, happy Sabbath, dear ones. And this is part 7 in our series titled Jesus, My Righteousness. And each one of us has the privilege of claiming that. Jesus, my righteousness. And for those that would like to follow along with the quotes that I'll be referring to in this sermon, you can find these on our website at lightministries.com/ID2007.htm. And if you look at quote number 1 from Romans 8:1, we read, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." Now, last time we learned that before we were born again, we were clothed in what the Bible describes as filthy and sin-stained garments of unrighteousness. And so any good deeds of righteousness which we might perform while in these rags would not be accepted by God because they would be contaminated. But we also discovered that once we're born again, these blood-stained garments are removed from us and we're then cleansed and clothed in new garments, which is the robe of Christ's righteousness. And we also discovered that the seed, or Jesus Christ, is now planted within us. And when a woman becomes impregnated with seed, her menstrual cycle ceases, and then there's no more blood to defile her garments. So then in this born-again condition, we become, as it were, impregnated with the seed, or we have Jesus Christ living within us. In other words, we're united with divinity. And when humanity and divinity is combined, what happens? You look at quote number 2 from 1 John 3:9. "Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed, or Christ, remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God." So once our best efforts to obey God combines with the divine strength and grace of Christ, then we will not sin. We will do the will of God and gain the victory over every sin. So this means that in this born-again condition, clothed with the righteousness of Christ, then our works of righteousness would be accepted by God because they would no longer be contaminated by the filthy rag experience we had while living in sin and fulfilling the lusts of our flesh. We're told in 2 Peter 1:1-4. "Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now these verses reveal to us that we can obtain victory over every sin. We can be victorious over the lusts of our flesh, over improper appetite, and over every temptation that we need in order to become perfect men and women, all through the union of humanity and divinity combined. In Hebrews 13, verses 20 to 21. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you, there's divinity now, divine strength, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, we've also learned that the Godhead has provided everything in order for you and me to be saved, but they cannot save you by themselves. So since you know this glorious plan of your salvation, and you know all that God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit are personally doing so that you can be saved, what are you going to do? The Bible tells you to strive to enter in at the straight gate. God says to go forth and walk in the Spirit. He invites you to ascend and advance up that straight, narrow pathway. But how are you to do that? How are you to go forth and walk in the Spirit? How are you to ascend and advance? This is what we're going to learn today. So then, how are you to go forth and walk in the Spirit up this straight, narrow pathway? And the answer is by taking one advancing and upward step at a time. God doesn't expect you to jump from the beginning of the path to the very end in one leap. But he does expect you to walk by faith. You know, the end of any journey begins with taking that first step in the right direction. So then, in order to reach the end of this straight, narrow path, you must take that first step of faith and obey the will of God. But sometimes taking the first step can be the hardest step to take, especially when to all of our sight and senses it seems impossible to do. But yet God tells us to go forward in faith and not to doubt, because we walk by faith, not by what we see. An example of this is that when the children of Israel came to the Jordan River after they had wandered 40 years in the wilderness, they saw that the promised land was just on the other side of the river. But at the particular time of year that they arrived at the Jordan, it was the rainy season. And it was also the time of harvest. And the Jordan River at that time was overflowing its banks. It was very swift and raging in turbidity. So to all of those Israelites that were standing on the bank, looking across it to the promised land, it seemed impossible for them to swim across the Jordan without drowning in the rapids. So just before them was this terrible, imposing obstacle that was preventing them from advancing any further. But what did God tell them to do? You can find the experience in Joshua chapter 3, verses 5 to 17. And God told them all to go forward and pass over. How are they to do that? The children of Israel were faced with having to choose either to put faith and trust in their own eyesight and then wait for the water to go down, or they had to put faith and trust in God who commanded them to walk forward. And when the children of Israel decided to walk by faith and ignore their sight, when they decided to put forth the effort and to take that first step into the water in obeying God's command, then the Lord came through with his divine power. He parted the Jordan River in half, and then the children of Israel were able to overcome that obstacle as they continued to advance step by step until they walked into the promised land, gaining the victory. That experience is an object lesson for you and I, dear ones. We are to walk upward on the straight and narrow pathway one step at a time in the strength and grace of God. And when we find obstacles preventing our advancement, we're not to give up, even though to all intents and purposes it appears to our sight and understanding impossible to overcome them and continue to advance. But God tells us to go forward, just as he did with Israel. So this means we are faced with the same choices they had. To focus on what we see or feel and cease to advance, or to focus on what God is able to do through us as we obey and walk forward. So God tells us to go through the obstacle. And if we choose to obey God, then we're to forget and crucify self, put our faith and trust in God, and take the first step in obeying his command. And when we do so, when God sees we've taken that first step, then his divine power will work in and through us and allow us to walk right past that obstacle like it was nothing more than a mirage. Or as John Bunyan stated in Pilgrim's Progress, a paper giant. So when we allow God to work in us to accomplish his will, we will gain the victory through Christ, which strengthens us. But we have to take that first step. Choosing to is not enough. We have to act on our choice. And when we do this, God will gain for us the victory. Sin will no longer have a stranglehold upon us like it did before we accepted Christ, because humanity and divinity combined does not commit sin. If you look at quote number 3, from Romans 6, verses 1 through 4, 6 through 8, 11 through 14, 16 through 19, and 22 through 23. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? In other words, cease to advance? God forbid. How shall we, that are dead to sin, live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness and unto holiness. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Did you notice what the key was to overcoming sin? What was the key that prevented sin from having any further dominion over you? Paul said, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. And what did Paul say was the key that made you free from sin? He stated, as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness and holiness. So the key to not having sin dominate over you, and the key to not continue in sin but become free from it, was by no longer yielding yourself to temptation, no longer yielding yourself to be servants of unrighteousness, but instead to yield yourself to God and become servants of righteousness and holiness. So the key to being free from sin is not yielding yourself to sin, but instead yielding yourself to God And it is this yielding to God, this choice to follow him, that breaks sin's dominion over you, that unites you with divinity, that makes you free from sin to become the servants of righteousness. Now, when you look up the Greek word for yield that's used in these texts, you'll find that it is charistomi. And this word translates and means to stand, to exhibit, to yield. And that's from Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, Greek word number 3936. So then how much effort does it take for you to stand and exhibit an upright position? You have to employ and to set your entire body to work in order to stand up. Every muscle is involved. So then to yield yourself to obey God and to righteousness is more than just choosing to serve him. It is serving him. And this takes decision and determination to force your will to accomplish the task of overcoming. And once your will is set to work, you've made the choice and now you're going to act on it. Then just like when you were learning to stand as a child and your whole focus was centered upon accomplishing that task, and you did not give up until you succeeded in standing, so the same with achieving righteousness. And God will help you every step of the way. In Matthew 5, verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now, for those that have been hungry and thirsty, your whole focus is centered upon obtaining that food or that water to quench your appetite or your thirst. And so then what is the promise if you hunger and thirst after righteousness instead of sin? You will be filled with righteousness. That's the promise. To you, it may seem impossible, but not with God. You walk by faith in what God can do in and through you, not in what you see or understand. But what has to occur before you can yield yourself to either commit sin or to do righteousness? You have to make the choice. So you choose to either sin or to become righteous. God cannot force you to choose for him, and Satan cannot force you to choose for him either. The choice to walk upward by faith in the Spirit or to walk downward in the lusts of the flesh is up to you to make. So Satan cannot force you to walk the easy, broad, downward road to destruction. And God cannot force you to take the straight, narrow, upward path to eternal life. The choice of whom you're going to yield your will to and which road you then walk in is left up to you to decide. Now, if you choose to follow the will of Satan and yield your will to obey the devil, then his power will work in you to do his evil pleasure. and you together will fulfill the works of unrighteousness and satisfy the flesh. But if you choose instead to follow the will of God and yield your will to obey Him, then God's divine power will work in you to do of His good pleasure, and you together will fulfill the works of righteousness, which gains the victory over the flesh. And believe me, dear ones, when you decide to yield your will to obey God, and when you take that first step in obeying Him, the force of your will directs and focuses your entire body, mind, and soul towards accomplishing this task of righteousness. And God, with His divine power, will combine with your best efforts, and the victory will be obtained over any obstacle, no matter how enormous or impossible it appears, to overcome and become victorious. All unrighteousness, all sin, every temptation can be overcome. If you look at quote number 4 from Isaiah 27:5, let him take hold of my strength, again, divine power, that he may make peace with me, and he shall make peace with me. That's a promise. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Or in other words, my divine power will bring you perfection through your weak but best efforts to obey. In Matthew 19:26, Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. That's a promise. So no matter how enormous or seemingly impossible the habits of sin that you've formed for yourself, and these fleshly obstacles that are preventing you from advancing, no matter how seemingly impossible they appear, when you choose to obey God and when you put forth your willpower and take that first step in obeying God's will, then God's divine grace and strength will combine with your weak but best efforts to obey, and the victory will be obtained. Now, if you look at quote number 5, let me give you an example here. How many times did that man that had palsy try to stand up from his bed before he met Christ? I imagine hundreds and perhaps thousands of times. But each time he tried to stand in his own strength and arise up, his body just laid there limp and useless. But when he met Christ, what did the Savior tell him to do? In Matthew 9:6, we read, arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. So even though this palsied man had tried maybe thousands of times to stand up before, yet he had enough faith in Christ to try just one more time. And as he put forth his willpower and exerted the effort to obey the command of Christ through faith, God's divine power combined with this man's efforts to obey And he gained the victory over that seemingly impossible obstacle that was hindering his advancement. He was able to stand up, and he was completely healed. The victory had been gained. Now you can see this same experience with the lepers. Luke 17:12-14. You can see the same experience occurring with the man that had the withered hand. Matthew 12:13. You can see the same experience with the blind man. John 9:6-7. And other experiences as well. Each time it appeared humanly impossible for them to overcome their problems. But when they met Christ and decided to obey his command, and then they put forth their willpower in taking that first step to obey through faith, then God's divine power combined with their weak efforts, but their best efforts to obey, and they all obtained the victory. It's the same with us, dear ones. Now let me bring up another point, and this is where a lot of people fall and lose faith. Look at quote number 6. In this walk through faith, there's going to be times at which we fall into sin, and this will then stain our garments once again with blood and filthiness. But because we've fallen into sin, does this mean that we're instantly lost? And the answer is no. In Proverbs 24:16, for a just, and the word just means righteous, for a just man falleth 7 times, and what does he then do? And riseth up again. So in other words, he doesn't remain in a fallen condition. In Micah 7:8, when I fall, I will arise. So once you realize that you've fallen into sin and your garments are no longer pure and spotless, then humbly confess and repent of this sin to God. And you know by faith that God will re-justify you. He will re-cleanse you and make your garments spotless once again. He'll give you back the robe of Christ's righteousness. And so now you'll be able to have his strength and grace to stand back up and then go forward in the process of sanctification and righteousness. So if you fall into sin, recognize it, repent of it, confess it, and get back up. In 1 John 2:1, my little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So what does Jesus tell us when we fall into sin, just as he told the woman who had fallen into sin, just as he told Mary Magdalene? In John 8:11, Christ said to her, go. Go where? Go forward. And sin no more. So if you have fallen back into sin, then confess it, repent of it, and stand back up in Christ Jesus and go forward. Don't just remain in a fallen condition. Learn from your mistake, and also learn to avoid repeating it in the future. just like you did when you were first learning how to stand up as a child. You didn't give up. You continued until you were able to stand. What caused you to fall back into sin is the same thing that caused Peter to sink in the raging sea. You took your eyes off of Christ. So this time, keep your eyes more firmly focused on the Savior who is leading you to the city of God. Keep walking forward through faith, even though you have to step into the raging waters of affliction. You will only fall again if you take your eyes off of Christ and instead fix them upon yourself or upon your circumstances or upon others. So this time, keep your eyes focused on the Savior. And by beholding Him, you'll become changed into His image from glory to glory, or from one stage of growth and character perfection to the next advancing stage. Even as, or because of, the Spirit of the Lord, which was 2 Corinthians 3:18. But I want you to recognize something very solemn. We've learned that when we were converted, that we had the seed planted within us, or we had Christ living within. And this stopped our filthy rag menstrual issue of bloody sin from continuing to defile our garments. So after Christ is now living in you, if you should happen to choose to sin, then your garments will become stained with blood, and you will no longer be pure. But what would cause your garments to now be stained with blood? Has your filthy rag issue started all over again? The answer is no. So then where did the blood come from that stained your garments? If a pregnant woman begins to bleed, where does the blood issue from? Her period hasn't started again. She's pregnant. So then where does the blood come from? The blood would issue from the areas where her placenta attaches her baby to her womb. And what does this mean? This is a signal that her baby is in distress and quite possibly is in the beginning stages of being aborted out of her. So, dear ones, after you have accepted Christ as your Savior, after you have confessed and repented of your sins, after you have been justified and clothed with Christ's righteousness, and you're walking on the straight and narrow path, if you should then choose to yield to sin instead of advancing past that obstacle through faith, then you are guilty of causing Christ's distress. You're guilty of causing Christ pain and suffering beyond what He's already suffered and endured for you. And you are also in danger of aborting Him out of your life. Now, if you confess and repent of this sin, then this abortion process is stopped. But also realize that if you continue sinning and refuse to repent, If you're determined to give up the warfare and to no longer continue advancing upward, then this abortion process will continue until Jesus is fully and forever aborted out of your life. Thus, you would be guilty of killing Christ afresh. And then there is nothing you can do to remedy this situation, which means that you will be eternally lost. If you look at quote number 7, in Hebrews 6, verses 4 to 8, it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. And then in Hebrews 10, verses 26 to 9 and 35, through 39. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who have trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace? Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that, after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now these inspired passages reveal to us that what causes someone to be lost is when they have fully understood and embraced the truth of God, when they have enjoyed living in the truth and experiencing the work of the Holy Spirit in their life and the power of God working in them to overcome their habits of sin and defects of character. If, after all of this experience, they then choose to completely turn their back upon God, to no longer follow in the truth, but to go back into living their life of sin and unrighteousness, then there is no more forgiveness for their sins because they have killed or crucified Christ afresh and done despite unto the Holy Spirit of grace. They have aborted Christ out of their lives. And he's not coming back. So this means that that person is lost without any hope of obtaining a third chance for salvation. And this also proves that there is no such Bible truth to believe that once you are saved, you will always be saved. Once you were converted, you will always be converted. Once in the truth, you are always in the truth. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches that the gift of salvation comes to you through Jesus Christ. But the Bible doesn't say that you will always cling to that gift, because you have the choice to throw that gift away that you once received. In Ezekiel 18, verse 24, when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and doeth according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? All his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned. In his trespass that he hath trespassed, and in his sin that he hath sinned, in them shall he die. So there is no such thing as once saved, always saved. So all these verses that we've read show us that after you are converted, after you're walking on this straight upward path, that just because you happen to fall into sin doesn't mean that you've fallen off the path and are now destined for destruction. Recognize that you have caused Christ distress and pain by this sin. Then confess and repent of it and stand back up in the strength and grace of God. And then walk by faith. Don't repeat the same sin again, but advance beyond this sin. Go beyond this obstacle that is hindering you from obtaining the promised land. And in walking by faith, then you will have stopped the abortion process which your sin began. You will avoid killing Christ afresh and losing your salvation. Walk forward and upward towards the city of God, to that glorious promised land, and gain eternal life. Don't remain in a fallen condition. Get back up. Repent and confess and go forward. And God's divine power will combine with your efforts to obey, and you will gain the victory. Now, before the children of Israel could inherit the promised land, they had to first fight against all the evil nations that were preventing them from living in that blessed paradise. And does anyone remember how many of these wicked nations the Israelites had to defeat before they could obtain the promised land? It's significant. And the answer as to how many nations there were, as well as the spiritual meaning to this history, is what we will discover next time in our seventh and final part of this series on Jesus, My Righteousness. Praise God for His word of life. Praise Him for His encouragement, for the promises that He gives us, and for being willing to unite within us and together overcoming sin. Thank you, Savior. Our closing song is More Like the Master. More like the Master I would ever be. More of his meekness, more humility. More zeal to labor, more courage to be true. More consecration for the work he bids me do. Take thou my heart, I would be thine alone. Take thou my heart and make it all thine own. Purge me from sin, O Lord, I now implore. Wash me and keep me thine forevermore. Purge me from sin, O Lord, I now implore. Wash me and keep me thine forevermore. More like the Master is my daily prayer. More strength to carry the crosses I must bear. More earnest effort to bring his kingdom in. More of his spirit the wanderers to win. Take thou my heart, I would be thine alone. Take thou my heart and make it all thine own. Purge me from sin, O Lord, I now implore. Wash me and keep me thine forevermore. Purge me from sin, O Lord, I now implore. Wash me and keep me thine forevermore. More like the Master I would live and grow. More of his love to others I would show. More self-denial like his in Galilee. More like the Master I long to ever be. Take thou my heart, I would be thine alone. Take thou my heart and make it all thine own. Purge me from sin, O Lord, I now implore. Wash me and keep me thine forevermore. Purge me from sin, O Lord, I now implore. Wash me and keep me thine forevermore. May this be your prayer and goal, dear ones. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for thy divine love for each one of us and for being the same God today, yesterday, and forever, being unchangeable. Thank you that we can trust in you, knowing that our trust is not in vain, that you will not disappoint, that you fulfill your promises and keep your word. And thank you for manifesting your love for us through Jesus Christ. And dear Savior, thank you for being the same yesterday, today, and forever, one that we can fully trust in, that we're not going to be disappointed, that you're not changeable, that you do not alter to fit circumstances. And thank you for becoming human just like us, that we might be united with your humanity, and through you, united with your divinity to our Father. And thank you, dear Spirit, for planting within us the desire, as well as the divine power, to become like Jesus, changed and ever growing in righteousness and in holiness. This is the promise that you give us. And you've given us so many examples in the scripture to show this is true. Please remove all obstacles from keeping us from understanding this vital truth that we can overcome all things that prevents us from becoming righteous like our Savior. There's no sin that we are fixed to continue living in. We can overcome it through Christ that strengthens us. There's no habit so entrenched that we cannot possibly be freed from it, because all things are possible with God. Help us not to walk by sight, or walk by feelings, or walk by what we think, but to walk by faith in God's almighty power to deliver us, to strengthen us, and to gain for us the victory. Help us to be more like our Master, Jesus Christ, and not like the other so-called Master, the devil. Thank you for the power to choose between the two. And please help us always to choose Jesus. Thank you for hearing and answering this prayer, and thank you, Savior, for knocking on the door of our heart and coming in to live within us when we open the door. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May God be praised for making possible our salvation, dear ones. And may Jesus be praised for showing us how. And may we thank the Spirit for making it possible for us to change our lives from darkness to light, from death to living, from sin to righteousness, all in Jesus Christ. Are there any thoughts or comments, questions, insights, songs, requests, testimonies? Anything that you'd like to share, dear ones, as we're now in our after church service, please go right ahead.
How about a hug for everyone?
Amen. Christian hugs all around. I find it quite amazing that how God has created things in nature to teach spiritual lessons, especially the plan of salvation, never ceases to amaze me, and how God has created the human body, male and female, also has spiritual lessons that teach us salvation. Truly, We have an almighty, all-powerful, all-wise Godhead. And how much more is there yet to learn? That's the joy of searching.
You know what I was thinking about this morning? When you start reading a Bible, it starts at the beginning, right with creation, and it just follows the line all the way through, all the way to Revelation, from beginning to end. What an amazing book.
Amen. Alpha and Omega. Jesus Christ. Amen indeed.
Do you have the song, I Want to Be Ready When Jesus Comes? Do you have that one? I bet your brother Dick has that one. I want to be ready when Jesus comes. I want to be ready when Jesus comes. And I can't remember the next phrase, but that's sad. Oh, I remember that last phrase now. Earth's pleasures grow dim as I'm waiting for him. I want to be ready now.
Sorry, dear sister. I thought I could quickly find it on the internet. And nope, there's other songs that have those particular phrases in them. And I wasn't able to pull it out. So sorry about that. But that is a beautiful song, and thank you so much for singing what you remember. Are there any other songs? Any other requests, dear ones? Amen. Let me bring that in the room.
Be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love above, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day. All the way, he will take care of you. God will take care of you. Okay, I'm gonna try. Through days of toil, when heart does fail, God will take care of you. When dangerous fears your path assail, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day, all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. All you may need, he will provide. God will take care of you. Nothing you ask will be denied. God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God
God will take care of you. No matter what may be the test, God will take care of you. Lean weary one upon his breast, God will take care of you. God will take care of you. Through every day or all the way, He will take care of you. God will take care of you.
Thank you, God.
Days are filled with sorrow and care. Hearts are lonely and drear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near.
Cast your care on Jesus today. Leave your worry and fear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary, Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary, Jesus is very near.
Troubled soul, the Savior can see every heartache and tear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary. Calvary, burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Amen.
Under his wings, I am safely abiding. Though the night deepens and tempests are wild, still I can trust him. I know he will keep me. He has redeemed me and I am his child. Under his wings, under his wings.
Good job.
Who from his love can sever? Under his wings, my soul shall abide. Safely abide forever.
Under his wings, what a refuge in sorrow. How the heart yearningly turns to his rest. Often when earth has no balm for my healing, there I find comfort and there I am. Under his wings, who from his love
can save.
Under his wings, my soul shall abide, safely abide.
Under his wings, oh what precious enjoyment, there will I hide till life's trials are o'er. Sheltered, protected, no evil can harm me. Resting in Jesus, I'm safe evermore. Under his wings, who from his love can sever? Under his wings, my soul shall abide, safely abide forever.
Well, there is a song, actually, Sabbath blessings, everyone. There is a song, actually, that not only the tune of the song that I like, it was my wife who started it, and I like the tune of the song. This is actually found in the hymnal, the new hymnal, which is page 335. Regarding, this is related to the message also. What a Wonderful Savior is the title of the song. Christ has for sin atonement made. What a wonderful Savior. We are redeemed, the price is paid. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Jesus. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. I praise him o'er this cleansing blood. What a wonderful Savior that reconciled my soul to God. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Jesus. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. He walks beside me all the way. What a wonderful Savior. And keeps me faithful day by day. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Jesus. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. He gives me overcoming power. What a wonderful Savior. And triumph in his trying hour. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Jesus. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord.
Amen. Now, thank you, dear brother and sister, for that duet. It's been a long time since I've heard that hymn. Maybe 35 years or more. Well, praise God indeed. Thank you so much for singing it. Are there any other songs? Any other thoughts, dear ones? Please go right ahead.
I was wondering if someone could sing, for the chapter that we finished for the young adult study, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. that scripture song? I don't remember all of it, but I can try to sing some, and then if someone wanna join.
Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe, O soul, in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself.
And the
and unto myself, that where I am, he may be also.
Let me do it!
Amen. That was beautiful, dear sister. And if I can get my beloved to come in here, we'll sing the version of that scripture song that we know. Now, let me see if I can get her in here. Come on! Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there ye may be also. John 14:1-3.
Amen. Lovely duet.
Are there any other songs? Any other comments? Requests? Please go right ahead.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus, please.
No.
Yes.
No.
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth
will change.
In the light of his glory and grace.
Mommy!
Amen. Good to hear you singing, Haley. Through death into life everlasting, he passed and we follow him there. Over us sin no more hath dominion. for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and the
end. Dear ones, is there any other thoughts that you'd like to share? Any last songs that you'd like to sing before we close today's service? Please feel free.
I would like to share two scripture songs, but I won't be the one to sing it. I just wanted, it's so beautiful, I just wanted to share it. One is from James chapter 4, 7 through 10, and the other one is Proverbs 19, 20 and 21.
Soul, and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. There are many devices in a man's heart, nevertheless the counsel of the Lord that shall stand. Proverbs 19, 20 and 21.
And this is the other one.
A Dios sea gloria, es el Creador, que amó tanto al mundo que a su Hijo dio, quien puso su vida muriendo en la cruz y abrió los portales de gloria y exaltada Jesús, es el Rey y Señor. Alabada Jesús, es el buen Salvador. Loa sobre todo su nombre inmortal. Él salva a sus hijos del yugo del mal. Cantad a su gloria, pues hijo es de Dios. Su amor inefable a todos nos dio. Contad hoy la historia de la redención. Que todos los pueblos entonen canción. Exaltad a Jesús, es el Rey y Señor. Alabad a Jesús, es el buen Salvador. Loa sobre todo su nombre inmortal. Él salva a sus hijos del yugo del mal. Ya sea en el canto o en dulce oración, loada al sublime y fiel Redentor, que joven y anciano proclamen su amor. Que sordos y mudos le rindan loor. Exaltad a Jesús, es el Rey y Señor. Alabad a Jesús, es el buen Salvador. Loa sobre todo su nombre inmortal. Él salva a sus hijos del yugo del mal.
Amén.
Amen. Praise the Lord indeed. And what a beautiful hymn to close our service on. The dear ones, keep looking up. Keep moving forward step by step with the Lord Jesus, hand in hand. His sheep am I. His child am I. His friend am I. So amen, dear ones. Have a wonderful remaining Sabbath and a blessed new week.
Looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on. Whoa.